May I speak in the name of the triune God. Amen. Please be seated. Well, long time no see. I'm reminded a little bit, hopefully only a little bit. We went to a nice Stedford service a little while ago, and the minister told a story. And this was a story of a minister, a priest, who was retiring from the parish. And it had got to a point where people had got a bit fed up with him, actually. He wasn't terribly effective, and people were kind of wondering how long this was going to go on for. And he stood up for his last sermon. He said, "Jesus called me to be ordained. Jesus called me to this parish, and it is Jesus who is calling me away." And then the next hymn was announced, and it was, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Now, that's not the right response. It's not ha ha ha, it's ah. Come on, ah. Well, that doesn't really apply to me. Retiring isn't particularly easy, but this isn't, I hope, a goodbye. But it does mean that I'm going to explore other avenues for ministry. As you know, I'm very interested in all sorts of things, and I won't go into them all now. But I've been, for a few years, involved in a group called Inside Out, which through art is trying to bring ministry more into the public place rather than inside the church doors, trying to bring it outside the church doors. And in fact, we have an exhibition in Dursley later on next month, and I've left some flyers for that over there. So that is ongoing. The group is still ongoing, and I find a very useful ministry. I'm still very interested in space, of course. I still like cooking. I've just been making some very tangy greengage jam, which is really nice. And I will be keeping very busy, and I will still be in Gloucester some of the time. And we haven't sorted out our retirement plans, but I'm hoping to come to church sometimes. I mentioned space, and of course, this year has been particularly exciting for me, being the 50th anniversary of the first moon landing. And that was really about human endurance and resolve. And despite the conspiracy theorists out there, and I can throw half a dozen perfect answers to them if they want, that because of the human endurance and resolve, that mission to land human beings on the moon was successful. And they're going back. And I'm saying, hooray, they're going back. But it's not without controversy. A lot of my friends would say to me they could have used that money for poverty. Well, that is true, apart from the fact they probably wouldn't have. The NASA, even the current expanded NASA budget, is only 1/5 of the armaments budget. Armaments cause war, poverty, homelessness, and refugee crises. Whereas space science benefits the human race in terms of understanding global warming, deforestation, international relations, which have been encouraged by the International Space Station. And all of this is adding to our positive attitude to our environment. I'm sure people of my age remember the first photograph of the rising Earth over the lunar landscape, the so-called Earthrise photograph. And photographs like that tell us how fragile our environment is. We do need to be acting like yesterday. All of these things are achieved through the human spirit, but also through prayer. St. Paul's has always been a place of welcome, and it's always been a place which has been concerned about things like the environment, tradecraft. And so what I'm going to say today is not by means of any kind of reproach, it's just encouragement for what we're doing already, which is all good. So just a few words about the gospel reading. Of course, it's very familiar to us because this is Jesus' teaching on the Lord's Prayer. Certain things are carried on by the Christian community, saying the Lord's Prayer, taking bread and wine, communion, the greatest commandment, love God and love neighbour. All of those things are held very much in our hearts as Christians. But perhaps the Lord's Prayer is the one thing that does persist in every situation. It seems appropriate in the midst of loss, in the midst of grief, in the midst of joy, in the midst of worship. But a few words to take out. The first word I wanted to take out of the Lord's Prayer to talk about was our. Now, our is in this reading because it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those. So our is there. But surprisingly, in the Luke version, our Father in heaven doesn't appear. It does appear in the Matthew version. And one could go into reasons for that, probably because Luke is more concerned with who Jesus is, whereas Matthew, coming from his Jewish background, is probably more interested in how that fits into a Jewish tradition, which I'll come back to briefly in a moment. But our is a very strong word, we. Our is about community. It's about a number of people together. We often now say the Lord's Prayer in isolation, just as our faith in some ways has become a more private faith, partly through the Reformation, partly through the establishment of the church, partly through secularism. And it's easy to forget that the Christian faith is a faith of community, not just an individual faith. Of course, the individual faith is terribly important. Jesus came to individuals. He healed individuals. He guided individuals. He encouraged individuals. And he raised individuals. But he also spoke to communities. He spoke in the Sermon on the Mount to many people. There were the 12, there were the 60, and indeed the post-resurrection appearance to the 500. So you have to see the Christian faith in the context of community, which was Jesus' tradition. And it's important not to prevent, to lose that and forget it. Of course, we're helped and saved by individual faith, but community faith is just as important. And I think a good illustration to use for that might be that if you take a log out of the fire, it's going to go out. If you take too many logs out of the fire's going to go out. So Jesus, as I say, approached and healed and redeemed individually in ways that the faith hadn't done before. It was very much a community faith. God was saving his chosen people. And Jesus brought that down to an individual level as well. Well, the second one, a word I wanted to pick out was Father. An important word because it links through later in the passage with his explanation of what the Lord's Prayer is about, this prayer is about. It says that if a child asks you, would you hold back? No, you wouldn't. If a child asks for a fish, would you give a snake instead? No, you wouldn't. We do respond to other people's needs, and particularly to the needs of children. And we respond to those in the way, in a parental way, a way a father or mother might. But the passage that we've got in the gospel is not without difficulty. It's not without great difficulty, in fact. Because when we've got to that point and just beyond, Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. And I think I would probably also say for many people, one might add, inquire and it will all be explained to you, because so much of life consists of trying to second guess what it's all about sometimes. But of course, a father, a parent, is not going to give a child everything they want, because it's going to be qualified by what that child actually needs, or what is appropriate or what helps. He's not going to give a child a machine gun. She's not going to give a child a lot of fattening food without some fruit and some vegetables. And thereby hangs the problem with this passage, that it seems to be promising the earth, whereas in fact our experience of life is that we often ask. There are big asks that we often ask, and the experience is that we're often not given a reply. Well, I think to get us out of this scrape, we look a little bit further into the passage. And the word that jumps out is need. Of course, everybody has wants. Everybody has things that they would like to happen, but they may not be things that they need. Of course, we could spend the rest of the day deciding what is needed and what is wanted, but in principle, I'm sure you go along with that statement. And at the risk of quoting the Gospel according to Mick Jagger, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. I think that's quite close to the passage here in front of us. As there are lots of needs of the world, I wanted to say also that I'm very interested in the whole question of the climate emergency. And I have joined a group which is consists of all sorts of people, actually, who are concerned about sustainability. Some of them have been on the Extinction Rebellion walks and sits. Others are thinking more about sustainability, reducing the plastic and carbon footprint. And actually, the discussions that we've had are very interesting, and there's actually no one right answer. It's really a matter of everybody thinking about the problem and deciding what they could do about it. Of course, it's difficult because many people live on a fixed budget, or they're just too busy with work, or with family to spend time traipsing around different types of shops and supermarkets to see how much packaging they use. And I don't know whether everyone else has had the same experience. I've gone into the supermarket, bought something in a cardboard box, and when I've opened it up, there's been a plastic packet inside. So it's really difficult, but it's not impossible. It is pressing, and it is urgent, and it is part of our community response to the environment's needs. And this church is active in working towards sustainability too. As I say, anything I say is about encouragement. Earlier in the year, I gave a little talk, and I was talking about a childhood experience I had when I was taken to have my eyes tested at the age of 11. It was around about the time I got interested in space as well. And I was utterly amazed when I got my specs that I could actually see into the distance. I just thought everything over there was always fuzzy. I thought everybody was the same. It was something to do with the air being a bit thick, or probably me being a bit thick. But I just thought, if you looked at the hills, they looked fuzzy. When I got my specs, suddenly realized that, no, I can see. I can see that far. Now, when we measure eyesight, most of you know I've been a doctor, we use a scale which measures how well you see compared to somebody else at a distance of 6 meters. And so it's expressed as 6.6 or 6.12, 6.18. The bigger the numbers get, the worse your vision is. At the time I had my vision checked, it was measured in feet. And it was measured in terms of 20 feet. So poor vision was 20/40. Perfect vision was 20/20. Now, I mentioned this earlier in the year because this year, of course, is 2019. Next year is 2020. So have a think. What your 2020 vision is. Is it clear? Do you need specs? Hopefully not rose-tinted ones. What do you need to do? What do you need to do in your life? what do we need to do as a community? I hope from what I've said, it's clear that I don't think there are easy answers, but there are some answers. And we have to do it together. In Matthew's version of Our Father, it isn't actually Our Father in Heaven, the modern translation, it's actually Our Father who is in Heaven, which is our old translation. I think it's a better translation because it's not only emphasizing that God is our Father, he, she, or they, but also that God is in his heaven, or her heaven, and with us. So that dual message comes out better in the traditional form of the Lord's Prayer. Maybe why some people prefer to say it that way. But we can do it with each other, and we can do it with the help of God. Amen.